Supper. Thanks for Understand, at that point, there is no question the Bible promises, for the heart and saved. You know what the Bible also says? By their fruits, you shall know them. So the person claims to be saved, yet they do nothing to indicate they're saved. I have biblical reason to look at them and say, we need to talk about this some more. Maybe you went through some motions, but the fact is that I do not see any evidence biblically that you're saved. You know that the Bible, assurance of salvation does not come because you can point to the day that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is how you get saved. When the Bible talks about assurance of salvation in 1 John, he talks about being able to see that evidence in your faith and works. That you say, I am saved because I have trusted in Christ and my works demonstrate that. Now, all the way through the Bible, the way that we have assurance of salvation, the way I know for sure I'm saved is because my fruits demonstrate it, I'm under conviction when I sin, my relationship with the Lord is there, and I fear, I really fear, that there are people who are going to die saying, when I was six, I made a decision in vacation Bible school, and so I'm saved. And the rest of their life was not demonstrated at all. When you study the Bible, assurance of salvation is not because somebody sat down and said, you did this to me, you must be saved. Assurance of salvation is because I see the Lord working in my life. I see God bearing fruit. And here in this passage, in verse 8, when he says, here is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. This is how I know you're my disciples. Because you're going to bear fruit. Fruit, again, is multifaceted. And I'm not looking just for people who are saved. I'm not looking for just people who can sit up and sing. There are people who do multiple things for the Lord. Fruit comes in multiple forms. But there must be fruit. And look, if you have that mentality, I want to make a decision once. I'm sure you did. But if there's the fruit isn't there, there's a reason to look at it and say, did I do? Did I understand? Did I comprehend what he was saying? Did I get to confess my sin? Did I to accept his forgiveness of that? That I have expected to live for him? I have expected to let him change my life. I have expected to have the full Christ likeness. And when we get into that, that's where sometimes it becomes much more difficult for people because they don't like the restrictions of the Bible, but it actually wants to tell me what to do. And yes, God does. But it would be like me saying that I am, a trainer, an exercise trainer. I'm a weight loss expert. And you look at me and say, you are, huh? And you would have good reason to look at me and say, you're a weight loss expert, huh? I haven't lost the fat department. You haven't lost it, but I have it. You would have a very legitimate reason to look at me and say, I just don't sense in your life that your weight loss expert is the title that I've done. I wonder sometimes if there are people who might be believers. That you claiming to be a believer is the same as you claiming to be a weight loss expert. There are others who will look around and say, I didn't know you're claiming that title. But there are some things that are really missing. I'm not talking about a personal judgmental attitude. I'm talking about let's open the Bible and it's supposed to be Christ likeness, and I'm just struggling to see that in you. I'm struggling to see on the left side of the backs up what you say. We fully understand that the illustration of weight loss, but we fully understand that with the illustration of biblical Christianity. Assurance of salvation biblically comes because you can look at the life of a person and say, I've seen the change that Christ has made. So shall you be my disciples. This is how I know you're my disciples, what I see, that you're bearing fruit. And so here's the first thing that the Lord looks at his men and he says, guys, apart from me, you can't bear much fruit. The illustration just simply makes sense. If you pull away from the vine, you will not live and you will not have lasting fruit. Everything about you will dry up. is a much abused verse. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I remember years ago, we had a man preach a sermon on verses like this, not just this verse, and it was talking about how to make my personal needs a garden. You know, I can ask whatever I want, and you'll give it to me. It's kind of like taking out your needs a garden and saying, I want that vine. And the idea that people get that they read through the Bible is that the Lord is all powerful, He can do anything, He has everything, and so if I just ask enough, He'll give me anything that I want. Even if I'm a believer, I get to the place where, you know, if I just pray hard enough, then God's going to give it to me. And there is labor in prayer. Prayer is a labor in such a thing that Christ Himself demonstrates that for us in just the two chapters from here. But you know, He puts some prerequisites on that that you need to understand. He says, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Those are two big gifts. That means that we're not coming to the place where we say, God, here's what I want, and here's what I want you to do. That'll make you go through. He says, no, if you abide in me. Now get the picture in your mind again. The branch is abiding, the branch is abiding in the vine. That's my connection. If you look at a tree, that's a big ring around it where the branch comes out, and that's the strongest part of it. And so if you think about that, here's the branch that goes out there. There's the little branches out there, the leaves. And the leaf out there says, you know, I need some water. And he sends a message back through them, whatever the tree sent it through. And it goes back to the trunk, and the trunk hears the message and says, hey, we need more water on leaf number 685. Okay, we're going to need more water. Well, he's brought it up. Oh, okay, it's that water. And so then a little later, there's a bud that comes out, and a little flower. The flower opens up the bag and says, I need this new gift. So they just need to put it on. Now I'm number 121. How come? Well, because he's going to be a fruit with that. Well, send it to the devil. And the fruit begins to grow, and he says, I need this. And so as he's bearing the fruit, and he's doing what he's supposed to do, the fruit sends this message back, and the roots lay down the ground, collect the nutrients and the minerals and the water and everything else we need, and they send it to the fruit. Well, if you could imagine for a pastor sending this fruit, sending a message back saying, I need a pizza. Why do you need a pizza? Why is that a pizza? That's not part of our goal. Not what we're doing. What I'm here for is to help you abide in me and bear fruit. When you send a message back and say, pizza, that has nothing to do with what we're doing. And there are people like that. Lord, I need a broccoli. You do? Yeah. It would help me bear fruit. I don't think it would. See, we get to this place where we simply have our own personal desires of what we want, and we have our own personal messes that we've created, and we go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, bail me out. I've read this verse once that says, you will ask what you will, and I will do it for you. Lord, I read that verse in the Bible, so Lord, I'm going to ask, I'm in debt $50,000. I'm going to claim your promise, Lord, I'm asking what I want. And you said it'll be done to me, and Lord, I need $50,000 by tomorrow because they're going to be with us. I'm claiming the Bible promise. I've read it several places in the Bible. God will give me whatever I need. I need $50,000. Well, you see, that's the same as if you're asking for pizza. That's not what He promised. He promised, if you're abiding in me, that you're clinging to this life, and you're seeking to get your life with Him, and your goal is the same as His, that you want to bear fruit, if it's the same, you these men have been able to look at Jesus Christ and ask him for things. They've been traveling with him for 3 years. And so they can literally look at him and say, Lord, we need food for these people. Remember those stories? We're reading through the Gospels. Or Luke. They read through this story, they have a feeding of 5,000, feeding of 4,000. Those men came to the Lord Jesus and they said, Lord, these people need food. And they need food because we're way out here and too far from them. But some of them are in the faith. They're literally too weak to get caught, so they need food. There's a fit in his purpose that's fitting to the fruit that he wants to give. Yes, it does. And so they ask him, Lord, will you provide food for these people? He says, yes. Give them the food that you have for them. You know, 5 loaves of bread, a couple of fish here, and he's still going to pass it out. And he multiplies those things. Now, what if they're going along in their ministry, and literally the Lord Jesus Christ is with them? And as they're with the Lord Jesus Christ, here comes Peter. He's on his function. And Peter says, Lord, we need it. I think we're going to pull them out. Peter, how's that going to help us bear fruit? Oh, we're going to find a friend there. I don't think that fits in. And you see, looking at the Lord Jesus, actually physical looking at him, he would have asked for that. He would have looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I need an in-ground pool, a hot tub, you know, a Ferrari, Tesla, whatever. He would have seen the Lord looking back at him and going, Peter, thank God for you. That's a better purpose. You're not thinking the way I'm thinking. I'm not thinking about earthly things here. I'm thinking that we're going to bear fruit from my Father. We're going to show people who God is. We're going to demonstrate to others the love that God has demonstrated to us. And those things, God may give you some of those things. Those are not things that you look at me and say, I need that. It's different. And when you learn to abide in Christ, to think like he thinks, to have the same goals and objectives that he has, then your prayers will be answered. But if you're praying outside of that, abiding in him, and his words abide in you, that's why it is so important that you read the scripture. When you do that, then he's promised to meet those needs. But many times we have such a difficult time discerning what is it that we need, what is it that I want, and what is God's purpose. Let me give you an illustration of that. Many of you may have been studying the life of Joseph. Joseph is sold by his brothers into slavery. When he's sold into slavery, he goes to Potiphar's house and becomes the head slave of Potiphar's house. Joseph's prayer, my prayer, would have been part of him. Lord, get me out of here. Yes, Lord, he's accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He ends up in prison. And in prison, sitting in a cell, my prayer and his prayer probably was, Lord, I deserve this. I've been sold by my brothers. I've been falsely accused. This is his right. Lord, please get me out of here. I need to get out of here. I'm going to give any force of words. I need to get out of here. The only reason you can look at that and say that wasn't the prayer that should have been answered is because you know the end of the story. The God was going to use those circumstances for him out of that prison cell to take him down the road a couple more years, and he was going to come face to face with a pair of them, needed his skills, and God was using all of those things to hone him so that when he came to that situation, God could effectively use him. You see, you and I have to come to the place like the Lord Jesus Christ where we say, you know, I don't want my will, but I want yours. Or I don't understand why I might have cancer. I don't understand why I might have financial problems. I don't understand why I might lose my job. I don't understand when you fill in the blank. I don't understand this. But Lord, I trust you that you'll use it for your glory. Because I am abiding in you, and your words are abiding in me. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask what I want. But I'm going to ask that, Lord, you give me what's best. Trust in you. That will only happen to people who are abiding in him. If you pull away, you're going to get bitter and angry and upset, and those things are going to bother you. I'm telling you, abiding in his words, abiding in you, you're going to be sin and sinner. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to balance out my path with my good judgments and bad things here. So I'm going to do some good things. And I'm going to start, helping all the ladies across the street and getting some money. I'm going to help out the church, do some community service, I'm going to be nice to people. I'm going to do a lot of these good things. And hopefully, this pile of good will at least be a little bit outweighed with this pile of bad. This is the way that we're going to get to heaven. The big problem with that is, apart from me, there is nothing. That's what God said he wanted you to do. That may be the way you want to accomplish it, but the way you want to accomplish it is not the way that Christ said it is going to be accomplished. He said the only way you're going to be saved is by taking your sin and believing that Jesus Christ has paid for all of it. And all our righteousness are still your righteousness. It is not a matter of balancing out your sinfulness. It is a matter of you coming to a place where you realize that I need help with my sin. I need Jesus Christ to take that and pay for it. That's present future. I can't help myself. And so my salvation apart from him, I can do nothing. But when I fully realize that it is completely because of Jesus Christ, it's not because of what I know or what I've done, it is simply Jesus Christ that I'm going to be saved. There is service that people still try to do apart from him, but really ends up being worth nothing. Because we try to win people to Christ on our own strength. We try to live marriages that don't include Christ and the wife and falling apart, and then what happens? We try to do it on our own. People try to live a Christian life in their own strength. They find it really hard to do. Well, that's because we're not complaining again. You see, he was warning his disciples. These are seasoned veterans. These are not the newbies coming in. These are the seasoned veterans of Christianity. And he looks up at them and says, I want to warn you. Apart from me. I don't promise anything. I know I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be separated from my Father. Holy Spirit's going to come. But if you abandon me, don't expect to get any good fruit out of it. It just won't happen. And I think it is striking that he looks at his classroom. So these are the 11 men that I've been training for 3 years. And the last lesson I want to learn is that when you pull away from me, you'll lose your rootedness. You will stop doing anything that's going to be of any value in heaven when you're not trusting in Christ, when you're not obeying him. Now, all of the lessons that he tries to do, that he gives his disciples, this is the one he wants to imprint in their mind. There must be a vital relationship with him. I've seen people try to convict others apart from Christ. And it's there's somebody who says, I see somebody doing something wrong. Parents can do this with their children. And they have a wrong attitude, or they have done something wrong, or perhaps there's another person in church and they've done something that's not right, it's clearly biblical. And so you know you're going to reprove or do things wrong. You go to them, or mom, you always sit at home. I go to mom and I say, oh, that was a wicked sin, you need to repent of it. And when I explain it now, come on, man. Am I correct? Possibly. You don't need to be convicted. You may trust me. But what if I go to them and I say, instead of doing this online, in my own strength, I go to Bob and say, can I show you what the Bible says? I'm concerned about something in your life. Now, it is still possible that you don't want to hear it. He may have one of the religious reasons he's struggling spiritually in right here. But if I sit down with him and I say, well, it's not because of me, it's because I read the Bible and I want to be blessing you and I want to help you, and I'm going to Christ's name, I can have the Holy Spirit to use what I'm saying. Again, you see the difference? And then with your children, you have to remember that. Second, I can rebuke them with my own words and God in mind with what I see. Or I can rebuke them with the Holy Spirit to use my words to convict. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. This is the lesson He's trying to ingrain in His disciples. He'll finish this with one last thing. Many of you jumped down in this passage to verse 11. We didn't read it. So we'll finish with it this morning. He tells us, apart from me, you can get a lot of everlasting fruit. You're not going to have lasting fruit to go away. Apart from me, you cannot expect anything to your prayers. Verse 11, these things that I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And I'll put this last thing down, it does mean a lot of comfort. Apart from me, you cannot experience fullness of joy. Is never will. When you begin to pull away from Christ, when you begin to do things in your own strength, when you begin to do things in your own power, when you begin to think, I don't need church, I don't need other people, I don't need the Bible, I got my own control, when you begin to think like that, if you will pay careful attention, you'll see your level of joy decreasing. You're less content, you're not happy. You're a little irritable. He said, that's very natural. Apart from me, you are not going to have fullness of joy. It's not going to happen. You can try to live your life and fill it up with the sinful pleasures of this world. You can live your life and try to fill it up with all the things that you can get. You can live your life and try to fill it up with friends and activity. But apart from me, you are never going to have the fullness of joy. Last thing he said to his disciples. He wanted them to be happy. Do you know that? He wanted them to be joyful. He wanted them to walk around without smiling faces when they're playing crowds and around people. He wanted them to be joyful. He said, guys, remember this. I'm going to be crucified. But remember this. When you pull away from me, you can't have fullness of joy. I want you to have that. I want you to have a joyful life where you see answered prayer, abundant fruit. The way you're going to have that is by finding me. And so, guys,